I've been rereading Shop Class as Soulcraft by Matthew B. Crawford. Read this a few years ago, reading it more carefully this time, and two little parts in here that kind of blew me away. Let's talk a little bit about them. I'm going to read. This is page 43. Here, the concept of wages as compensation achieves its fullest meaning and its central place in modern economy. Changing attitudes towards consumption seem to play a role. A man whose needs are limited will find the least noxious livelihood and work in a subsistence mode. And indeed, the experiences of early 18th century capitalism, when many producers worked at home on a piece rate basis, was that only so much labor could be extracted from them. Contradicting the assumptions of this rational behavior, it was found that when employers would increase the piece rate in order to boost production, it actually had the opposite effect. Workers would produce less, and now they could meet their fixed needs with less work. Eventually, it was learned that the only way to get them to work harder was to play upon the imagination, stimulating new needs and wants. Consumption, no less than production, needed to be brought under scientific management, the management of desire. I don't know if you got that from the reading. I read it a few times before it hit me. What we're talking about here is the birth of consumerism. So going back to the 18th century, it says that most people were working piece rate. And basically what that meant was it's kind of like gig work or being an independent contractor. People worked as needed. So they would go and, go out and somebody needed a field cleared. They would go out and clear the field, and then whatever money they made from that, they would live off that until they needed to find work because they had another debt. So there wasn't this idea of continual wages. They were working piece rate. But the people who are owning things, businesses and so forth, they needed more consistent work. They needed people to work harder. They needed them to work more hours, like the 40-hour week, which did not exist then. So they thought first, okay, well, we'll just pay them more. Maybe you don't want to come work for, 15 cents a day. We'll pay you 20 cents a day. We'll pay you actually 30 cents a day. And what they found was rather than people wanting to work more, they wanted to work less because they could say, well, if I only have to do one day to make 30 cents instead of 2 days to make 30 cents, then I only need to work one day when I would normally need to work two to maintain my lifestyle, which was modest. So it didn't work. It actually had the opposite effect. So they realized that the only way to make people work more was to make them want more. Insidious. They wanted people to want more than they had because people were going out and working to maintain what they had with maybe modest desires for something, we need some new clothes because it's worn out. That's kind of how it used to work. Clothes would wear out, shoes would wear out, then you would go to get the new thing. Instead, they wanted to instill this idea of continual desire, continual want. I haven't worn this shirt for like a year. You know what? I'm just kind of tired of looking at it. It looks brand new. It's perfect. Maybe I should get a new one. That's consumerism. And what that does is it means that you need more to live. And in order to need, and because of that need for more, you can work more. Somebody can get you into a job where you work 40 hours or 60 hours, as some people do. This is the birth of consumerism. The purpose of consumerism was to fuel labor to get more work out of people. So we artificially created desire in order to get more work from people. It's insidious. And it continues. This is how it got. If that was the insidious idea, here is the crown on that insidious idea. The habituation of workers to the assembly line was thus perhaps made easier by another innovation of the early 20th century, consumer debt. As Jackson Lear has argued, through the installment plan, previously unthinkable acquisitions became thinkable. And more than thinkable, it became normal to carry debt. The display of a new car bought on installment became a sign that one was trustworthy. In a wholesale transformation of the old Puritan moralism expressed by Benjamin Franklin, admittedly no Puritan, with the motto, be frugal and free, the early 20th century saw the moral legitimization of spending. So what better way to get people to want more, but to offer them things that were out of their reach before? If you, we'll use now, for example, if you work for $11 an hour, and you had to pay 100% for your home before you could own it, most people would never own a home. So we offer debt. You can own that home that for no reason you can afford right now. You could own it. Just pay us interest. Just go into debt. And that debt keeps you working. Because if you stop working and you stop paying your debt, you lose your home. Remember the financial crisis during the Bush administration? A lot of people lost their homes because they could not pay the debt. So the debt not only allows us to want things even bigger than we could have imagined before debt existed, but it also keeps us working to pay that debt. So all of these systems were created to benefit business and not people. In fact, he says, turns the Puritan ideal on its head. The idea that you would walk around with debt, is there a part where it says this? Yeah, I think it's right here, in which the moral valence of debt and spending is reversed, and the multiplication of wants becomes not a sign of dangerous corruption, but a part of the civilizing process. Flipped it, it's on its head. Prior to this, the idea that you would spend money that you don't have meant something was wrong. You were doing something, it says corrupt, but it means that you're doing something against your benefit. But we flipped it on its head and said, no. If you're going to be a productive member of society, and if you're going to be like all the rest of us, you have to have debt. And a perfect example of this is credit scores. If you don't have debt, if you've never had debt, you don't have a credit score. You don't have a good credit score because they have nothing to score you on. So you can't get loans and things like that. You know, you can't create debt unless you had some sort of debt before. It's all debt built upon debt. You can't have the bigger debt until you've had the smaller debt. I don't know. I don't know if I have anything more to say about it than that. I read that like three or four times. Heavy.